The title to today's devotion is Where is the One Who Has Been Born, King of the Jews? We recall the Christian story about the wise men coming to Herod, seeking to find baby Jesus with this question, Where is the One Who Has Been Born, King of the Jews? This is a question that people all over the world are still asking. Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? You may ask yourself, Jesus was born in a lowly manger 2,000 years ago. The traditional religious Orthodox Jews still do not believe that Jesus, their Messiah, came as a baby to Bethlehem. They are still waiting for him, expecting him to come in great splendor to set up his kingdom on earth. While Jesus was hanging on that cruel cross, we read in Mark 15:32, where the people cried out at him, If you say you are the Son of God, come down from the cross, and we will believe you. They did not understand, and still do not understand. Their eyes were and are still blind to who Jesus is. We read about Saul, who later became the Apostle Paul. He was stunned by a bright light while on his way to Damascus to persecute the Christians. Saul called out and said, Who are you, Lord? Under that encounter, he desperately wanted to know who was speaking to him. Within the Muslim community, Jesus is visiting many Muslims in visions. They're asking the same question, Who are you? What is your name? Like Saul, their eyes are being opened. They're being transformed by inviting Jesus into their lives. I would like to tell you about a Syrian lady who had recently been widowed, who was seeking, she did not know who. The Christian relief team heard about this needy Syrian widow living outside a Lebanese Muslim village near the Syrian border. So they took food to her. Apparently, Jesus had been there first. A refugee from the civil war in Syria, the Muslim widow, along with her three children, had sought shelter in Lebanon, like more than 100,000 other Assyrians. She was observing a traditional 40-day period of solitude to mourn her dead husband. So she had received nothing from the local Islamic Aid Society. When the Christians knocked at her door, the widow appeared fully covered in black, including an opaque veil over her face. She explained her period of self-isolation. They offered to leave the food outside, but she unexpectedly invited them in. They sat with her and her children on the floor of the temporary dwelling. Who are you? She asked anxiously. You don't know us, but we have great love in our hearts towards you, the team leader answered, explaining their reasons for helping Syrian refugees. The love comes from God, who has worked in our lives. To their amazement, she responded by removing her veil, unheard of in her conservative Muslim culture. Then the words came flooding out. I want to tell you what happened to me yesterday, she said, her voice trembling with emotion. As I was sleeping during the night, someone knocked on my door. I was so scared, but I opened the window to see who it was. No one was there. After a while, I heard the same knocking. My heart was beating so fast, so I went and sat beside the door, and I fell asleep there. As I was sleeping, someone put his hand on my shoulder. He said, You don't know me. You have passed through a great pain. I experienced a great pain also. But I will not leave you alone. Tomorrow I will send you someone who will tell you about me. Listen to him." When she finished the story, she began to weep. She turned to the team leader and said, "Tell me about this person that I saw in my dream." Through his own tears, the leader told her about Jesus Christ the Messiah, the friend of widows, orphans and outcasts. "This book that I'm going to give you will explain to you about God's love," he promised, giving her a Bible along with additional aid to help her and her children survive the mourning period. The traditional religious Orthodox Jews who do not know Jesus do not accept the book written by Isaiah in the Old Testament. For the Christian, Isaiah's prophecies, which we sometimes call the Gospel of the Old Testament, very clearly prophesies about Jesus being born and dying for our sins, which came to pass 2,000 years ago and is very clearly portrayed in the New Testament. It warms my heart when I see and read of people who enjoy nature. It is sad they do not know their Creator, the one who brought everything into being, even themselves. We read those enlightening words in Psalm 19, 1-6. "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voices go out into all the earth, their words to the end of the world. In the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun. It is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived of its warmth." Let us go back to the story of the wise men and find out how they came to know that the king had been born in Bethlehem. They must have been God-fearing men. We read in Matthew 2, 1-7. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is where what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." That's a prophecy taken from the book of Micah 5, 2-4. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." Notice that these wise men must have been astronomers and God-fearing men, for they said to King Herod, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." Today, the astronomers are still searching for life in the skies, searching among the multitudes of galaxies, and as yet they cannot find life. To find our heavenly King, we have to search with our hearts, not with our eyes. We read in Ephesians 1:15-23, "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparable great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet, and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. We also read in Romans 10:9-13, if you declare with your mouth Jesus Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame, for there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the Lord will be saved. Notice, when Herod said, when the wise men asked, where is the one who had been born king of the Jews? In Matthew 2:7-8 we read, then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them exactly the time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child, and as soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him. Jesus was a threat to Herod. Who is this one who is claiming to be the king of the Jews today? We read the alarming news about what Hamas and Iran are knowingly seeking to do, and what they're wanting to do. They want to wipe out Israel. Has anything changed since the time Jesus was born in Bethlehem? No. They're under the yoke of Satan. It is not just a physical battle being fought, it is also a spiritual battle. Satan knows his time is short. He is seeking to wipe out Israel, God's chosen people. But we know, the Bible makes it very clear, Satan will be defeated. Jesus will reign triumphant. Still today, we are hearing how folk across the globe are searching for the true God. I have listened and read about folk who are searching while reading or hearing about Jesus. In their desperation, searching to know if God is real, they have called out, God, if you are real, show me. God, in his love and mercy, has showed up. It may be through a vision. It may be through meeting another Christian or reading a verse in the Bible. God has always shown up. Jesus shows up, as we read in Romans 10:12. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is the Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. Again, in Acts 2:21 we read, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. They indeed, without doubt, will know, just like Saul did on the road to Damascus, they will know assuredly that this is truly Jesus, the King of the Jews. I want to read an extract from one testimony of a lady who called out to God, God, if you're real, show me. This is part of Christina's story. She says, throughout my university years, my two closest friends were both Christians. One friend, let's call her Michelle, asked me along to a young adult group she attended for every Thursday after class, and every week I said no. I had to study, practice, literally, and anything else to do. This continued for years until one day she wore me down and I at last agreed to go with her. At the event, I went too. I sat opposite a girl who was sharing her testimony with a group. I'd never heard anything like this. I didn't understand a lot of what she was saying, especially the part about Jesus. I hadn't thought much about Jesus before that day, other than looking at him on a stained glass window outside our local church. I didn't know he was the Son of God, and I certainly didn't know what dying for our sins meant. What got me most from her story was the life change. She had once felt a lost and lonely on the inside as I felt, and now she felt peace. I couldn't stop thinking about it. That same girl ended up sharing the gospel with me a few days later. She explained to me that we are all sinners, and there is nothing I can do to work my way to God. All I need to do was to accept Jesus as the King and ask for his forgiveness. And I was furious. How dare she call me a sinner? I'm a good person. I don't do anything wrong. I get good grades and I help people. Who is she to call me out like that? I told myself I was never going back. I was back the next day. I never stopped going back. Over the next 6 months, there was massive highs and lows. I got mad and then sad, then confused, then hopefully, then would try and block it out, then repeat. But I always went back. Something in me had changed, but gosh, every fibre of my being tried to fight it. After months of wrestling, I decided to ask God to reveal himself. Sitting outside under the stars on a cloudy night at a friend's batch, I talked to God for the first time. I said, God, if you were real, show me a shooting star. Then I thought smugly, now let's see if God is real. I waited and I waited. 5 minutes went by. No star. My heart began to sink. I realized with shock that I wanted God to be real. I began praying inside, please God, be real. And then it happened. The sky cleared and I saw it. A blazing bright star that seemed to travel across the whole sky. I yelped, did anyone see that? And they all looked at me as if I was crazy. It all came to me in a moment that I had prayed, show me, a shooting star, and God has just done that. Okay, God, so you are there, you are real. But I don't need you, I can do it on my own, right? And then the most painful and oddly beautiful month of my life happened. God began slowly and painstakingly revealing the depth of my sin, literally the worst nightmare of any perfectionist. I saw for the first time my obsession with perfection, my constant comparison game with those around me, my selfish ambition and cruel tongue. He brought me to himself in his perfect way and timing until I could no longer refuse him anymore. On the bathroom floor, I was brought to my lowest. Crushed under the weight of sin, I prayed, God, I cannot do this anymore. Jesus, take my life, make me yours. I want to be yours. And that was the moment everything changed. God wrapped me in his love, and I felt pure joy. I felt weightless, fully forgiven, fully loved, fully his. God had saved me from the path to ruin I was walking. Life as a Christian has not always been easy. but it has certainly been the best 2 years of my life. The challenges a Christian in the performing art world faces will always be huge. But, O Lord, how grateful I am that you are out there. God has changed my very soul. I no longer desire to be perfect, but instead want to see the perfection of Christ. Instead of desiring to be loved by all, I now dream about loving others to the best of my ability. Of course, this is all done imperfectly, but God and I are a team now. If you are reading this and have never considered Jesus before, consider this. There is a God out there who knows you. Not the you that you show to others, but the real you. He sees you, your deepest, most hidden things, and he loves you. He loves you. How incredible is that? But God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God brought reassurance that he was real to Christina through a shooting star. He wanted an intimate relationship with her. This Christmas, may you know and experience the real Star of David, the bright morning star Jesus referred to in the book of Revelation. The wise men 2,000 years ago saw the star in the east. They met the baby Jesus and fell down and worshipped him. Are you looking forward to meeting Jesus, the bright morning star? Let us take encouragement from the vision the Apostle John experienced while in exile on the Isle of Patmos. In the last chapter of the last book of the Bible, Revelation 22, 12 to 21, we read what Jesus said. Look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Outside are dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears says, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life. I warn everyone who hears the words of this prophecy and this scroll. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to their life, their person, the plagues described in this scroll. And if anyone takes words away from the scroll of prophecy, God will take away from that person any share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this scroll. He who testifies these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen. We as God's children do not have to go searching for the King of the Jews. All we have to do is to just call out to him in faith and believe he is the Messiah, the King of Kings. He came into this world as a baby to spend time down here, discovering for himself the difficulties we face in this life. We need to acknowledge that when he suffered that awful death on the cross, which he voluntarily gave up his life, he was paying for our sins. Ask his forgiveness and ask him to be king of your life. This will be the most important and greatest decision you will have made in your life, which will secure for you an eternity in heaven with Jesus. When we know him as our Saviour and Lord, he will be both within and around us, guiding us each moment of every day. With a thankful heart, we will then be eager to bring our gifts like the wise men did. They brought three gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. As we dig deep into the Bible, we will find the untarnishable golden nuggets of God's love, His long-suffering nature. We will receive wisdom, encouragement, and guidance. We will want to thank Him for His perfect personality. We will also want to say thank you and acknowledge the sweet odor of His presence that lights our way. The frankincense is aroma we carry in our life. Yet at the same time, regularly remember to say thank you for the myrrh, which was used at His burial. We need to thank Him for the ultimate sacrifice He made for us in order to win back our freedom from death. Just like the wise men, we can't wait to see the King of Kings in person. That day will soon come. Are we looking? Are we waiting for Him to appear and take us home? When we see Him, He will not be as a babe, but as the King of Kings, a warrior. Let us listen to the words of the song the writer has penned. King of Kings, Majesty, God of Heaven, living in me, gentle Saviour, closest friend, strong Deliverer, beginning and end, all within me falls at your throne, your Majesty.
Strong.